better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We thought they'd win five or six, and we've been saying that for months.
Yeah.
And people thought we were being negative. I'm just trying to be real. You know, that's what I really think. I'm not going to lie to you. You're not going to lie to anybody. That's what we think. I don't know why all of a sudden yesterday, what word got twisted, what we said that was misperceived. I'm sure it was our fault, happened.
Oh, of course it was. I'm sure.
Just like being in my house. It's my fault. I'm certain of that. But I don't... We weren't saying anything different yesterday, dude, than we've been saying forever.
No. And I don't think our predictions have changed.
No. And it wasn't like everybody was coming. We had four or five callers, and we had a few on text and Twitter. I think it just began to snowball a little bit.
But guess so.
I didn't think we were being negative. I thought we were being real. And I think it's not being negative if you think they can win five or six this year. Because I don't know what business world most people live in, but if you double your...
It's pretty good.
Bottom line, if wins are the bottom line, I mean, four would be doubling. So if they more than double that, that's pretty good direction that the program's headed in.
Yeah, you're trending up, and I think that's what's the most important. But, yeah, I thought it was weird, too, because, listen, I thought that we were pretty complimentary of the fact that, hey, the quarterback situation's much better. Wide receivers are much better. The offense is much better. I don't know.
We got rhino skin down here. We're not thin-skinned about it. We still love everybody, so it's all right.
Are we petty?
Oh, of course.
Okay, all right. As long as we can still remain petty, that's really all I care about.
We got to have rhino skin down here. You know?
Yeah. Got to have that. Got to have that, especially in this day
and age. Can't have rabbit ears.
Well, that's the problem is that we have so many ways of communicating with us now with our text line, our phone line, Cherokee Casino Hotline. We got Twitter, got Facebook, got our live stream.
We're not hiding from you people.
Yeah, like so many ways that we're going to see, and we see it all. That's the thing is we got a setup here in our studio to where no matter what form of communication you try to get with us after us with, we have it set up right in front of us, so we'll see it. I guess if email will take a little bit, which is funny because...
Email would be the slowest.
Yeah.
We don't even... I guess if you have mine or your email, which by the way, if you want to email, and a few of you do, tommy.craft@hitthatline.com, john.neighbors@hitthatline.com.
We got real creative with our email.
You want to get a hold of Ty? It's younghippiemillennial@hitthatline.com.
That's a long one
right
there.
Yeah, I know. The webmaster didn't like it at all.
Yeah, apparently not. But yes, you can email us too, and we will see it at some point.
At some point.
Yeah. May not be right off the bat.
Hey, there's a guy named Wally that listens every day, and he sends great emails. And we'll use part of them on the air from time to time. I've sent some of them to you.
You have?
Well thought out. He spends a lot of time. I mean, we get a few of these from some of you guys out there write us novels.
Mm-hmm.
Novels. Usually the longer ones are the ones complaining about one of us.
Yeah, and I always get a little uneasy when the email starts, "I hope this day serves you well." Because that usually means whatever comes after that is going to be a backhanded criticism of some sort. It sounds really professional, but it's like, no, you're actually saying really mean things. But we can handle rhino skin and all that.
That's right. Rhino skin down here.
Yeah, rhino skin. And here's the thing, folks, the season hasn't even started yet. Oh. So why are we even to this level yet? Why are we at this point where we're having to say we have rhino skin? Because we haven't even gotten to the point where games have been played.
Just keep listening.
That's right.
You agree or that's the beautiful thing about this show. We don't have to yell at each other. We just, you know, I'm talking about me and you. I like yelling at you.
Yeah.
But, you know, just have a nice little conversation, and no one's going to be mad at anybody around here.
That's right. We're very civil. It's very civil here on the Morning Rush. Now, if you come in and you call in or text in or anything and want to talk about the great stadium debate or Arkansas versus Arkansas State, I might yell at you. I might get mad.
Hey, speaking of stadiums.
Yes.
Yesterday afternoon, I was listening to Halftime with Ty and Phil. Nikki was on and kind of gave some tease of some news that was going to come out in the middle of the afternoon, and she was dead on. And they researched and found that, hey, this situation with Arkansas and Missouri going to play next season at Arrowhead.
That's right.
Now, how cool is this? So next year, not this season, next season, Arkansas is going to play a game in two different NFL stadiums. And instead of going all the way to Columbia, Arkansas fans, particularly those listening on 99.5 in Northwest Arkansas, even shorter. Which one's closer? Kansas City, you lived there all your life. Which one's closer? Kansas City or Little Rock? Which one takes longer to get to?
Little Rock's closer. How but much, not much
not
close.
Much. I'm going to say, you know.
It's about, I think it's like a two and a half hour drive to Little Rock. And it's
about. It's got to be longer than two. I mean, if you're getting it in two, it takes me two from here.
I know, but look how far, like if you think
you're
about how
it
far.
You're getting in two from Fayetteville.
You asked me the question and I'm trying to answer. Well, this is how fast
are you driving?
Yeah, but you have to be driving 90 to get in 2 hours.
I've never made it to Little Rock from Fayetteville in 2 hours.
I drive the speed limit.
Bull butter.
All the time. Hey, listen, from where we're at right here, it's a 2-hour and 20-minute drive.
Okay, so from Fayetteville, it can't be 2 hours.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. Anyways, but my point is, it still remains that Kansas City is just a little further, because I think Kansas City is probably about It's three and a half hours.
All right, I'll lay it out, okay, because I've been doing it a while.
Let's listen to the pro.
KC is 3.5. Little Rock's 2.5, 2:45.
From Fayetteville?
Yeah, Fayetteville. So I don't know why that was
It's not much different, you know.
Yeah.
And the barbecue is probably the tiebreaker, right?
Well, it'd have to be, yeah.
Right. The only problem is it's the day after. I assume it will still be the day after Thanksgiving next year. I assume that television will still want it there. So, that might make it a little more difficult on some people, but, or maybe not. Maybe that makes it easier for you to work into your plans. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, because it's going to depend on how the season goes, for one. Because I don't think people are going to be willing to make that trip if the team isn't any good.
I know this. It breathes some life into this fake rivalry. Maybe it will start helping make it an actual rivalry. Yeah, because for years, Missouri and Kansas played there. That was the one of the signature hallmarks of that rivalry between those two states. I don't know that it ever becomes that with Arkansas, because they won't play there every year, I would assume. But you know, I think Missouri struggles the same way Arkansas struggles. The reason Arkansas put the Missouri game when they have it at home in Little Rock. Students go home for the holidays. People are busy with Thanksgiving. If the team's not winning 8-plus games, it's hard to fill the stadium up. So let's do something to market this thing better. I think playing in Kansas City is great, because obviously there's a huge population base in Kansas City, and I think for Arkansas fans it's easy to get to, and for, you know, Missouri fans, I'm sure it's a treat to go over there and play.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the fact that you're playing in two NFL stadiums in one season.
Yep. Arlington and there.
And you're not even talking about, like, of course, every NFL stadium's really nice, don't get me wrong, but you're also talking about NFL stadiums that are really close in proximity to your state, which is a rarity for a lot of schools, because, listen, how many games do we have this weekend, neutral site games of teams that are in NFL stadiums? It's like every NFL stadium's almost being used for some sort of football game. But in a lot of cases, it's not really close in proximity to those schools. I think, what is it, Auburn and Oregon's in Arlington? You know, those aren't really close by, but Dallas is just a short drive, and Kansas City is such a short drive, too, for fans.
You can catch a flight into DFW from, like, anywhere.
Well, of course. But I'm just saying, from the fact of, like, those who can't afford to fly or want to spend all their money on the tickets, they can still drive and it not be so bad of a drive, is my point. But not only are you – so you're playing in two NFL stadiums this year, and this is what's the best thing about this, because 2020 might be the best football schedule Arkansas has ever had in their history, because not only do you have, for the first time ever – 4 SEC home games in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
4. You have Alabama, you have LSU, you have Ole Miss, and Tennessee, I believe is the
correct.
Then you go to Notre Dame.
Correct.
Second week of the season. I mean, that's an iconic place to go. You go to Arlington, just like you do every year for A&M, and then to Kansas City for an Arrowhead for Missouri. So you're talking about, you're playing in three stadiums right there on the road that are iconic, legendary stadiums. And then your two true SEC road games, the only two true SEC road games, are at Auburn and at Mississippi State. That's it. Those are the only games that you're going to play in the SEC that's going to have a legitimate home field advantage for the other team. I'm not saying that Kansas City or, you know, Dallas won't still have a bunch of A&M and Missouri fans respectively, but you see what I'm saying, that you're going to have allotment and you're going to have people making those trips. And as I was getting excited about when we were talking about it yesterday, what if Arkansas goes to a bowl game and they go to the Vegas Bowl and they get to play in the new Vegas stadium? I mean, it's just boom. You got an incredible lineup of places that Arkansas is going to be playing next year. So I am so happy. I assume that it was Missouri's doing and all this because it seems like
they broke the news.
Yeah, so they were the ones that headed it up. So kudos. I don't say this often, so write this down. But kudos to Missouri and good job on you for doing this. Because it is kind of funny that Arkansas is like, well, we're going to play our game in War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock. Missouri's like, oh, okay, well, we're going to play the game. When we all come up here, we're going to play in an Arrowhead in Kansas City.
Are you a little surprised? Because Missouri's just spent a, you know, you always spend a ton of money when you renovate your stadium. They just renovated their stadium, so they, of course, spent a ton of money on that. And now you're going to move a game. Now, I don't think fans will argue. I think fans enjoy up there playing games in Kansas City. Arrowhead's a special place. Arrowhead is not the same thing as War Memorial, I guess is what I really am bottom lining
this
out.
Well, this just in.
And this, yeah, breaking news here. Arrowhead and War Memorial are not equal. So
I think it's awesome. I'm glad they do it. But they did it mainly because I think the reason they're giving up that home game is just to add some sort of pizzazz and flair to the game.
You ever been to a game at Arrowhead?
I have.
Well, the tailgating there is...
It's something else. It is something else.
I've been to a game where the Raiders came in there to play, and I've been to two games there.
Yeah. My first game there was actually a Monday Night Football game.
I've been to three.
2 years ago, and it was electric. I mean, the weather was nice, and I always make the joke that the higher you get in the stadium, the higher the BAC level is. Kansas City is that. I mean, if you want to go to watch the game and just enjoy your quiet game and watch it, don't sit up in the nosebleeds.
I sat up there once. It was one of our sister stations did a bus promotion. I went on the deal, and I think I was sitting in Overland Park is where I was sitting up there.
Oh, man, I bet.
But it was when Vic was with the Falcons. I mean, it was good.
Oh, man.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Kansas City, I think it crushed that day. So.
Well, it should be.
But the food was good.
Well, and I'm going to be curious because I'll have to go back, and I didn't really look at this, but I should have. Hey, how many college games are played in Arrowhead or have been played in Arrowhead here recently? Because I know that you mentioned Missouri and Kansas used to play there on occasion, which I remember that. But has there been since then?
Had the Big 12 championship there or some.
Yeah. I mean, it's not somewhere you play very often, or at least have college football games. So I'll be curious to see what the atmosphere is like in November.
I know this. I haven't been like, man, we got to make plans to go to the Arkansas-Missouri game in Columbia. Now it's
switching up a little
let's
bit.
Let's change the calendar around.
Yeah,
let's
make Thanksgiving dinner be barbecue instead of turkey and stuffing. Let's switch it up a little bit here.
So you two get to leg wrestle over who goes to Notre Dame and who goes to Kansas City. So this will be a fun time.
Which one?
Who can kiss up the most to go to Notre Dame? And the runner up going to Kansas City is not a bad deal.
I'd say it's kind of a win-win in most situations.
I don't know.
You can go to Notre Dame. I'll go to KC, and we can settle it right now.
Okay,
well, that's no fun.
Yeah. you could spend Thanksgiving.
I was
up there
looking
away
forward
from your
to a year of schmoozing and kissing up and
gotta
pandering.
Do better than that, Tommy.
My grandmother lives up there, so I'd get two kill burns one stone. So
well. I'll go to Notre Dame.
All right.
And I'll have some fun
John
there.
John, fall on the sword and go to Chicago for a few days. Yeah. All right.
And
I'll do it.
And I'll also be curious about this. This will be the last point. I'll also be curious if this is going to be a recurring thing.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, home.
Go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. PA is in Texarkana. What's going on, PA?
Oh, not much, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. I just kind of want to not do a yay, but sort of correct the last caller about playing an SEC game. And Jerry, well, I believe we signed that contract 3 or 4 years before Texas A&M joined the SEC. So correct. It wasn't like we knew that it was going to happen. So. Right. It just turned out that way. I kind of had bad luck as things have been going, but things will turn around. So anyway, we signed that when they were in the Big 12 and we were in the SEC. So, all right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it, PA.
You sound like he had gravel in his throat or something. I hope you're doing okay.
Is he related to Ed Orgeron? I don't know.
I don't know. PA doesn't normally sound Sounds like he's
In football mode.
A little allergy, something going on. Maybe he's been yelling at. It's too early to be yelling at football games.
Well, he's yelling at us for being negative yesterday. I don't know, because that's what everybody was doing apparently. So, but either way, yeah, folks, just 3 days away. 3 days away from having Razorback football, and it's against Portland State. And I thought that yesterday, as the media met with some of the players, of course, if you want to watch those interviews, head over to hitthatline.com. Check out those videos in their entirety. Scooter Harris was being interviewed by the media. And, of course, Bob Holt, being Bob Holt, had a pretty good question, and I loved Scooter Harris's response to it.
Yeah, Portland State, I think you guys are 28-point favorite. You're playing your SEC opener next week. I know you're coming off a tough season, but do you worry at all about, you know, overlooking Portland State and looking at Ole Miss?
You don't worry about nobody, especially after losing to North Texas last year. So you really don't. I really don't overlook nobody now. I know you always say that, but I guess you just take it more serious when something like North Texas actually happened to you. So no, we're not overlooking nobody.
I think that is a fantastic response there by Scooter Harris.
Two dings for that.
I mean,
you couldn't get a better answer than what Scooter Harris gave you.
No, in fact, if you're a Razorback fan, that's exactly what you wanted to hear. You wanted to hear that. That, you know what? After, and he, because it's one thing you just say, oh, we don't overlook anybody. No, you know, he went to specifics. He's like, you have what happened to us last year. You do not overlook anybody. Yep. It doesn't matter how much you're favored by, which tells me two things. One, good mindset for the Razorback football team, because I'm assuming the rest of them are feeling that way. But two, it also tells me that that element was going into play last year heading into North Texas.
Well, and generally, this isn't always the case, but generally when players are talking that way, it's because the coaches have loaded their lips. You know what I mean? That's the conversation in the team meetings, in the position room meetings, when the coordinators are talking to their side of the ball. So, you know, I'm guessing here, but I think I'm be pretty accurate. That's a message from Chad Morris, too, that's coming back through his players. Generally, it doesn't work that way to the media, but I bet they've heard that from on high there within the football program.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad that they have. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, because let's be honest, folks. We here on this show have been saying that it doesn't matter who the starting quarterback is because you should beat Portland State. We can say that.
Yep.
We can have that mentality. You as a fan, you can have that mentality of like, ah, shouldn't even be a contest against Portland State. You all can have that mentality. But the football team, the coaching staff, everybody involved in that locker room – can't have that mentality. Well, I mean, you can't afford to have that mentality right now.
And listen, losing to North Texas, and I mean, North Texas and Colorado State lost last year. That's a little bit different because you went on the road and they're a little bit different opponent. North Texas at home and then the punt play and all.
Because you got smoked.
Until Chad Morris, exactly. Until Chad Morris like wins the West, wins an SEC, he'll always be the coach that lost to North Texas. And he knows that. Yeah. That's always going to be there. And always the coach that had a 2-10 season. The only way to erase that is to win some kind of title or championship here. Have a Bobby Petrino 10-11 kind of year. That's the only way you're going to kind of expunge that from your record. So you can't forget it. You can't quit talking about it because that's got to be part of the motivation to help it go away.
Yeah. It has to be. And I think as a Razorback fan, too, there is no gimme games because you haven't had one since 2012. I mean, if you think about the games that Arkansas has lost in this period of time that they've been in this lull, I mean, we all remember the losing to Monroe game in Little Rock, but you did that. You did Toledo, North Texas, Colorado State. There were some close, even close calls. I mean, for crying out loud, you needed some miracle plays to beat Coastal Carolina a couple years ago at home. I mean, you have lost. There's no gimmies for Arkansas fans.
Not right now.
There hasn't been, and it's just... It shows where you're at, but also that's what having an experience like that sucked, I'm sure, for, I know it did for fans, but certainly for the team last year, to get whipped by North Texas on your home field. I mean, to get whipped, to be on every highlight about that fake punt return thing that they had going on. Like, I mean, it was a humiliating loss. And when you know that this non-conference schedule, is it easier than what most SEC teams have? Of course it is. In fact, it might be the easiest non-conference schedule in all of the conference for any team. But you're at the point right now where there's nothing given. There's no gimmies. There's no just walking in, you know, run another day at the office, moving on from it. There's none of that anymore. You have to have complete and total focus on everything, all the small things, because first off, – you haven't been good enough to get away with it. And second off, the moment you stop having that focus is the moment that a team like a Portland State, like a Colorado State, like a Western Kentucky, whoever is on the schedule that you feel like you should win, the teams you're paying a ton of money to beat, which is essentially what you're doing, you can't afford to have that mentality at any point.
How do you think this Saturday goes point-wise offensively? Ruskin and Zach ran a poll. I found this interesting. They had 0 to 10, 11 to 20, 21 to 30, or 31 plus. What do you think won that poll if you haven't seen it?
I have not seen it, actually. I would probably say the second option. I don't remember exactly the point total you gave, but
between 11 and 20 points that Arkansas scores?
Yeah.
Because the question is, how many points will Arkansas football...
Knowing Twitter and knowing
fans.
Mind.
Hang on. I read it backwards. Never mind.
Okay.
It's early. I thought it was scored. It was allowed. Never mind.
Okay.
Erase the last 30 seconds from the record.
All right. Good
Never
thing.
Mind.
Good thing we hit that dump button to where we don't
Never
have to
mind.
Worry about it.
That won't be in the promo, I promise.
Okay.
Forget that.
Well,
I had my Stugatz moment for
the moment. Well, I tell you what, Tommy.
I didn't have my reading glass. I thought it said it scored. And that's what caught me. I was scrolling through Twitter in the last break. I just didn't read it right.
Yeah.
How many points do you think they will score?
And if we're talking about Arkansas offensive.
Okay,
points they will score. I mean, we're going to do our score predictions in full on Friday, but I think it's safe to say that Arkansas will score between 30 and 45 points. I think so.
I mean, because I've heard some fans concerned about not being able to score points this week and that the offense, but even as, because we all agree the offense is better, right?
It is.
O-line is no worse, may not be a ton better, but I don't think the O-line is worse than last year.
Can't be much worse.
Right?
Yes.
Wide receivers are better. Running backs, better. Quarterbacks, better. Tight ends, at least as good. Maybe, I mean, tight ends was still a good point last year. So the offense probably is better, right?
Yes.
Some of all things. And how many did they score against Eastern Illinois? What was it, 63?
55 points.
55? So I don't think they're going to struggle for points in this first game against a... Would you say these opponents are probably similar to what they played in game one?
Yeah.
And I think it's 40-something points, 50-something points. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see scoring I've heard being some a
people,
problem.
Well, but I've heard people with that concern.
I think they're just concerned about everything. I mean, there's nothing that they feel good about. They're confident in right now. There's just nothing there. So they're always going to go scale it back a little bit so that way they don't get disappointed. I think that's where a lot of fans are. But here's the thing, though. If Arkansas does go out there and score... Say if they score 60 points against Portland State, just throwing a number out there. So, I mean, is that going to change your opinion on anything against Ole Miss the next week?
Yeah.
No.
So let me bring this poll back in. 57% think they'll allow between 11 and 20. Is that too many points?
No.
So if they allowed 18 points to Portland State, you have no concerns?
No.
Okay. I'm fine.
I mean, because here's the thing. A lot of times those points are scored. If the points are scored in garbage time when they're going up against the third string, it's not going to be concerning to me. I mean, let's be honest. Alabama gave up 30 points last year to Arkansas. You think Alabama was concerned after that about their defense? No. They're still going out and they're still doing work. But
yeah.
I think that in this game, as long as Arkansas goes out and convincingly wins, and when I mean convincingly, I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 touchdown victory. As long as they do that, I don't think there's anything you'll be able to take away from it, at least legitimately, and say, ooh, this is a big concern. This looks awful. It's game one against a nobody opponent where they're still figuring some things out. You're not going to come out and beat them 70 to nothing. And if you do, great. I mean, I think every Razorback fan would take that.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how much it's going to change anybody's opinion on the next week against Ole Miss.
I think you could win 170 to nothing. And everybody's still going to have their arms folded and say, well, let's see what happens in Oxford.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're going to wait on that.
You could come. I mean, you could win this game 235-3.
Still didn't matter.
And no, I'm going to wait and see what they do at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Because the rest of that doesn't matter. Because what was it? They beat Nichols State in 2014 by 73-10. Right. What'd that do?
You beat Eastern. What did you say? 55 to what?
20.
20?
Yeah.
And they went 2-10.
Yeah.
So
doesn't matter. Does not matter. Game two is all that matters. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Robert's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I was listening to y'all real quick, and we're talking about how so much better we are. We're that much better. Then why are we not talking about seven win season if we're that much better? Or is it We're just that much better than the non-cons, and we're still behind the eight ball in the comp.
Well, I think you're better because you're going to go – because we've been saying 5-6 wins is kind of where you're looking at. And that's still
– You're double,
really
you're over
much
doubling
better.
Your win total. Yeah.
Okay, and I get that. You get five – I'm only picking us to win five. So that's four non-cons and one conference. That's it. But
right.
To me, I just don't feel – I mean, yeah, we're better than two wins, but I'm just not buying into all this that we're – you know, because you beat who you're supposed to, but we're still way behind
it. But last year, Robert, you didn't beat who you were supposed to last year. That
oh, you're right.
It's improvement if Arkansas beats who they're supposed to this year, right?
Yes, if we do beat who we're supposed to, because you're right. We lost two non-cons last year, so you're right. But it's just, you know, just listening to it, I'm just wondering if we're that much better. I just don't get it. But,
I mean,
all right, guys.
All right, thanks, Robert. I mean, that's the point is,
yeah.
I think we can't appreciate how bad last year was. I mean, improvement is five wins. And I think that's where we got off track with some people yesterday is we're talking about five or six wins this year, and people are saying, you guys are being negative. We're talking about maybe over doubling, maybe tripling the win total.
We're being too positive now, Tommy.
And now I can't figure it out.
Now we're saying we're so much
better, so why aren't we talking about more wins?
5-6 wins is more wins, and that is much better.
Yeah, about five.
That's much better. I know that's not what people want to hear as far as they think better is 7 wins. No, better is 5-6 wins.
7 wins is coach of the year territory.
8 wins build them a statue. We're at that level right now, folks.
But we have to understand better is 5.
Yes.
Right? I mean, yes. Do we all need to have a calibration segment here where we all get calibrated on our expectations? Because if you think 5 is being negative, or 5 isn't expecting enough, or I'm a little confused with some of the feedback we've gotten the last couple of days. I really am.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'm way off, but I never do. But, but people don't think 5's improvement. I guess that's where I'm confused, is we say 5 or 6, which is kind of like safe, like middle of the boat, not going to fall out and get wet, 5 or 6 wins. And if you think that's negative talk, we're talking about possibly tripling the win total from a year ago. I can't help you.
Yeah, but folks, I'll tell you this too. If we're talking about that in year 4 or 5 of Chad Morris, then, of course, there can be those issues. But, again, 2-10 last year. 5-7 this year, that's better. That's much, much better.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Andrew Hutchinson of Hogbeat.com. Andrew, I got to ask you, are you as excited and pumped as we are in the fact that we actually have a game to watch this week and then next week we can actually have a game to react to? Are you about as happy as that as we are?
Yeah, I'm about ready to write about real football. There's always so much you can write during fall camp and during practice. So it'll be nice and refreshing to have some real football to write and talk about for sure.
Andrew, you're a stat guy. You like to crunch numbers. You're an analytic. What has jumped out to you? Is it, you know, when you got the depth chart, was it the freshman? Is there something in the stats with Ben Hicks? What take us inside the numbers or something that's jumped out to you about this Arkansas team as you get ready for the year?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it would necessarily be analytical, but just the fact that there were 9 true freshmen in the two deep is very surprising. And you got 2 of them starting at wide receiver. You know, hopefully Trey Knox is back out of practice today, so that way he'll be able to play against Portland State. But that's a big number. I haven't had a chance to go back and like look and see how it compared to the previous years. But last year, I do know that there's only 4 in the original 2 deep to start the year. So 9 is a very large number, and I'm excited to see what they do in their first college action. Obviously, we probably won't get a really good taste of how they are able to perform until week 2 against Ole Miss. But just to finally see them in a real game and more than just the 20 minutes we get to watch of practice. That's something that jumped out at me when I saw the depth chart, and something I'm definitely going to be looking forward to against Portland State, a game that Arkansas should, you know, handedly win. It'll at least give us something to kind of look and analyze and things like that.
One of those freshmen on the two deep is backup right guard Ricky Stromberg, a freshman, 6'4", 266 pounds. He's backing up Myron Cunningham, who's really kind of the utility player. And if Colton Jackson needs some rest, Cunningham may slide over. You could make the case that Stromberg and his ability to not be the weak link on that offense may be a key this year, because he's going to have to step up and be that right guard when Cunningham is going to be the guy to get first moved to another position. But is that how you're seeing some of these dynamics on the offensive line with the depth they have?
Yeah, it definitely looks like Stromberg is that sixth offensive lineman who could go in and play. I think he could play either of the guard spots. I think I've seen him play both during fall camp. So, and of course, you know, the thing that jumps out about him is that he's listed as 266 pounds. That's really light for an offensive lineman at any level, especially in the SEC. But I've heard that he's actually put on weight. He's more in that 280 range now, which is not great, but it's a lot better. But, you know, anytime you have to put a freshman in on the offensive line, a true freshman, it's going to be a scary thing. I mean, I remember several years ago, Mitch Smothers, a guy I actually went to school with, was a true freshman and started the first game of the season. And I think it was the Alabama game, and he kind of had a rude awakening of, oh, my goodness, this is big boy football. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how he does. It's a little scary knowing that he's going to go in there. You know, if Colton Jackson gets hurt, or if he just needs a break and you slide Myron Cunningham over. But the good news is you do have a guy like Myron Cunningham who is kind of a Swiss Army knife. I think he's played every position on the offensive line except for center since he's gotten here in January. So anytime there's an injury or anything, he could probably slide over to either one of the tackle spots, and you know, Stromberg would be the first guy in there, assuming it's not the center spot. So it's interesting how it's going to shift, work itself out. The depth chart at the offensive line is kind of just a guide, because it's really who's actually the number six, the number seven offensive lineman. And it looks like Stromberg is that number six guy. So he's going to get some playing time this year, some trial by fire. I'm excited to see how he does. But again, it is a little scary when you got a true freshman up there up front.
Speaking with Andrew Hutchinson of hogbeat.com right now on the Morning Rush via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Andrew, of course, I got to ask you about the quarterback. Ben Hicks was named the starting quarterback this week by Chad Morris, and it got a lot of reaction from fans. But I think it's so fascinating that it seemed like if Starkle was going to be named the starter, then everyone just said, oh, well, he'll probably start all 12 games. But now that Hicks has been named the starter, there's a lot of reaction of saying, well, he's the starter now, but after a few games, then Starkle will take over. What do you make of this whole quarterback situation and the fact that Chad Morris did go with Ben Hicks over Nick Starkle to start game one?
Well, I did predict a while back over the summer, both I wrote it on our site, I think I've said it on a couple of radio shows, that I thought that Ben Hicks would win the job to start the year, probably start two or three games, and I figured that Nick Starkle would eventually take over as he kind of learned the playbook and everything like that. But I started to really kind of doubt myself there that last week of fall camp, when Nick Starkle seemed to be getting more of the first team reps, seemed to be performing better in scrimmages, and just, you know, was getting constant praise for how quickly he's picked up the playbook. But I stuck with my prediction, so I wasn't totally surprised when Ben Hicks was named the starter. But it is going to be interesting. As you said, people are speculating now, like, oh, when do they make the switch? I do think that the coaches are going to try to avoid kind of what they did last year when they went Cole, Ty, you know, rotating basically the first 4 weeks of the season. I think they're going to want to do it where it's either going to be Ben Hicks all the way through, or if they do make a switch, it's going to be a clean switch and they're not going to waffle back and forth. But I do believe if they do that, you're probably going to see it sometime in either the Colorado State or San Jose State game. So that way Nick would be able to get kind of a full game under his belt before that big Texas A&M game, which is, you know, a big SEC game for Arkansas, but also a big game for him considering that's his former team. So I'm anxious to see how Ben does both against Portland State and he's probably going to be the guy against Ole Miss, and that's going to tell us a lot about whether or not he's going to be the guy moving forward, or if they may be thinking about making a switch there in the next couple of weeks.
Well, playing against Portland State, we've had this conversation that it doesn't really matter how badly Arkansas beats Portland State, because it's not going to change anyone's mind as far as the Ole Miss game. Arkansas could win 70-0, but it's not going to make people start thinking, oh, now they're going to have a really much better season. But just from what you're going to be looking at here in game one against Portland State, what are some of the things that you would like to see from Arkansas that'll make you start believing, or start at least thinking, that this team has a chance to maybe even win 6-7 games, like be that type of team? Or is there anything you can really take away from a game like this that will make you believe that?
The biggest thing with these FCS games, in my opinion, is that you can't really take a lot away from a blowout, because a blowout's expected, but you can take a lot out of a game where maybe you struggle to put away an FCS team. I remember, I think it was Bobby Petrino's first year, Arkansas had a hard time beating, I believe it was Western Illinois or something like that, and that was kind of a sign of, hey, this team's probably not going to make a bowl game. Last year, Arkansas really kind of struggled to move the ball against Eastern Illinois in that first quarter, and then they that was with Cole Kelly starting. They finally put Ty Story in. He started moving the ball. That was kind of a sign of, hey, they're going to have some issues at quarterback this year, especially if they, you know, keep rotating back and forth. So really the thing you want to see is Arkansas do what they're supposed to do, which is win by 4 or 5 touchdowns and to move the ball easily. They didn't run the ball well last year. I think I was looking at stats the other day. I'm pretty sure they only ran for like 80 yards or something at Eastern Illinois. They need to do more than that against Portland State. They need to establish a run game, get that going, and they need Ben Hicks to kind of find a groove, get the ball in the end zone that first quarter, and really put them away early and not have any type of, you know, concerning things happen on either side of the ball. I mean, Eastern Illinois scored 20 points against Arkansas's defense last year. That's not great. I would like to see Arkansas score probably about the same amount of points as they did last year. I think they had 55, maybe a little bit more. I think my prediction was like 56-10 or something. But definitely hold them less than 20 points and just look a lot better from the start. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I don't know if any of that will tell me that, oh, maybe Arkansas is going to make a bowl game this year, but it'll tell me, oh, they're not going to be 2-10 again. That's really kind of the way I look at these FCS games, especially early in the season.
All right, let's get you out of here on this. What did you make of John Chavis's comments when he was asked earlier on Monday about, have you tackled enough in practice? And what do you expect of Arkansas's tackling early in the year, Saturday and then in a week at Ole Miss, when, you know, college football has moved into a phase where, you know, quite honestly, you don't hit a lot in practice, you don't tackle to the ground in practice. Will this be a team, Andrew, ready to tackle to the ground and be effective there on defense when it's live on Saturday?
I think it's always a concern. I mean, I remember my high school coaches talking about this, that, you know, we don't really hit a ton during, you know, fall camp or anything like that, preseason practices. So it's always a concern early in the season, and usually that's why you play these non-conference games. So I think it helps that Arkansas is going to play Portland State. That's a team that you can maybe survive, you know, a little bit of poor tackling, but you get that under your belt and you get Ole Miss the next week. You're not like Florida or Miami playing each other in week zero with no real warm-up to go off of. So I think it'll help having that warm-up game. And then, you know, Ole Miss is a team where that's probably going to be a shootout, just knowing both teams. Neither team is great on defense. Both teams are known for having good offenses, even though both teams are breaking in new quarterbacks and young players. But then you get another, you know, couple of lesser opponents in Colorado State and San Jose State. I know Colorado State beat Arkansas last year, but it's still not a SEC-type team. I think it does help the way the schedule sets up, that the tackling will work itself out, and I think after a couple of games that it'll be fine or as good as it's going to be during the season.
Andrew, as always, man, appreciate you hopping on with us this morning. I know you're going to enjoy the football season starting up as much as we are. Have fun this weekend, man, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road, all right?
Yeah, appreciate you having me on, guys.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, I'll go ahead and kick it off with my beef. It has to deal with this whole story going on with Andrew Luck retiring from the NFL at the age of 29. This was a huge story, let's be honest. Anytime that you see a player, especially a high-caliber quarterback like Andrew Luck, retire so early in his career, it's a huge story, no matter what. And, you know, there were some people that were upset with how Adam Schefter kind of scooped the story and didn't do it in the way that or in the timing that Andrew Luck and his camp wanted it to go. There were some people upset about it, which I don't – listen, Adam Schefter's got a job to do.
It's his job.
It's his job. He did his job, and that's what happens. I mean, he can't love it when he gives you the scoops early on some things, but then hate it when he does on the other things. Like, you just can't do it that way. But the beef that I have is with the people who were just absolutely upset, irate, and going crazy over the fan reaction to Andrew Luck there in Indianapolis, where they were booing after the announcement happened that he was retiring. It was a very awkward time because of the timing. He was still there at Colts Stadium, and they were booing him, or at least there was I won't say all fans, but there was definitely a good chunk of them that were upset. And here's my thing. I'm not justifying them booing. I'm not saying it's good that they booed or anything like that. But I want to defend the fan base just a little bit. Because if you look at it from, first off, being caught up in the moment and that moment of and all the perspective that's going on. If you're a Colts fan, your team was the favorite to win the division. In fact, your team in the Colts had a really good chance, as far as the odds go, of playing for a Super Bowl. You hadn't been there in quite some time. You felt like it was all coming together. You were a bad team a few years ago, but it was all coming together. And then, when you're getting all excited, maybe you've purchased all your season tickets. Maybe you feel like maybe you're going on road trips. Whatever it is, you've got it all planned in place that this is going to be the year and you're excited about it. And then in the middle of a game, with that excitement comes the announcement that your stud quarterback, your star quarterback, the quarterback that is literally going to be the key factor in leading you to that successful season, has announced his retirement. It's got to be upsetting for fans. Again, I'm not justifying them booing, but I get their frustrations and I get why they're upset. They had a lot of plans for that, and they didn't even take that away, folks. From the fans' perspective, you're also looking at it from, dude, could you have not have done this back in February? March? You not have done this? Well, we as fans in the administration and everybody here at the franchise could have prepared for this.
Could you have not have done it before I paid for my season tickets?
Yes, exactly. Like, there was a lot of factors that went into it. And exactly. I know that everybody in the national media hates the fans because the fans are always wrong.
Before I prepaid for the Hilton downtown and got that extra $20 a night off because I prepaid and I can't get my money back for those home games that you're not going to play in.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And so I get the frustrations. Again, I'm not saying they should have booed him. And I don't. Hopefully those fans weren't booing him because they hate Andrew Luck now. Because I don't blame Andrew Luck.
They're booing because he's not going to play.
Yes, they're booing
because they like him so much. And they know he was the ticket to them being a contender.
Their season got ruined.
Right.
Their season's over. And it wasn't even anything that they could have seen coming. So and it's something that fans feel like could have been handled differently that would have at least lessened the blow. But you're telling me 2 weeks before the season starts, this is what they have? Of course you're going to be upset.
This is the... I mean, the only thing I can kind of think of in Arkansas terms is the Bobby Petrino deal, where it's like the worst timing ever, and it's almost irreplaceable in the moment. Now, eventually, you know they'll find another quarterback. Arkansas found another coach. Haven't replaced that one. But you know, when you got one that's good and Hall of Fame-type status, I guess Luck will... Is he a Hall of Famer? Not he's on the fringe.
Yeah, he's
in the
really good.
He's in the conversation, at least. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of from our perspective is when the timing could not be worse and there's no immediate replacement in the moment, this is what, I mean, just you basically write the season off.
Yeah, you have to.
And for a franchise and knowing what the quarterback is, this may write off the next 2 or 3 years while you, quote-unquote, rebuild.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Unless you just get... Not to borrow the pun, but unless you just get lucky.
Yeah. But and last thing I'll say that when you brought the Bobby Petrino thing, I thought of that too, but the thing I thought of is imagine if all this stuff happened and then 2 weeks before the season started, Jeff Long says, okay, now I'm going to fire him.
Right.
You'd be like, what? Even if you agreed and how the reasoning of him being fired, you'd be like, what are you doing? Why? Why did you do this now?
Or think of the motorcycle accident that happened in mid-August and not April 1.
Yeah.
It would just be gut-wrenching.
It's the same kind of, I mean, obviously not the same thing, but it's the
same
only
type
thing
of blow.
Only thing we can equate as,
yeah.
I mean, it would be the same emotional reaction that we had then.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get it, fans. And I know everyone hates the fans because they think fans are terrible, but the fans are ones paying the money. And when your money's involved, sometimes you have the right to be upset.
When you don't have fans any longer, what do you have?
Nothing. You got nothing. So, you got an intramural team,
right,
is what you got.
So
that's my beef.
Here's my beef, and I had a whole different one, but I'm changing it, calling an audible here. I don't know what's happened in the last day or two, and it's not been as bad today, but I don't know if they're not hearing what we're saying, not listening to what we're saying. We've been talking all summer long about we think this program can improve to 5 or 6 wins. And, John, we have been nailed on our Cherokee Casino text line. Had a couple of calls, not a lot of calls. They've come at us on Twitter that we're being too negative at 5 or 6 wins. I mean, this is what we've been saying all summer, and we haven't heard a word about it. And now all of a sudden we're talking about 5, maybe 6 and make a bowl, which is not a shift, not a change from our narrative at all.
No.
And this is what we genuinely believe in and agree with. And now all of a sudden the sunshine pumpers, the ultimate optimists, are coming out of the woodwork at us that we're killing recruiting. We're being too negative. We're the bane of all of these things. And I guess I'm mad and upset because in what world, when you double, maybe triple your win total, is that not a positive thing, a step in the right direction? I'm beefing because I don't think people are hearing what we're saying. They're maybe listening, but they're not hearing because they're throwing our words back at us and they're not our words.
I don't get it.
I don't think we're not being negative down here talking about 5 wins. That's the next step from a 2-win program.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why, and it's not all of you out there listening. It's some of you. I don't understand why you don't understand. I'm beefing with the fact that you don't get that 5 is improvement. 5 is positive. Is it where you want to be? Is it where I want to be? Is it where anybody wants to be? No. But you don't go from 2 wins to 10. You don't invert the record. There's not that. He hadn't had the time to recruit that kind of talent to this roster. I just don't know if is this unrealistic expectations? Or is it just you want to be lied to? Hey, it's all going to be great. They're going to win 8 or 9. Does anyone really believe they're going to win 8 or 9? Or 10? Are we getting to that time of the year where we're just going to talk our way into something that's not real?
Hope not.
They could win 7, but everything would have to go right. I mean, just sit down and look at Arkansas's roster versus some of these other rosters. We've been talking, 14 freshmen on the 2-deep?
That's right.
Tell me how, in our experience, does that equal success in the Southeastern Conference?
I'm pretty sure none of them are 5 stars.
I mean,
none.
I mean, that just history and analytics tell us that's not the recipe.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why all of this, I hate to use the word negativity, but all of this is being, I mean, it's not a woe is me, but why my beef is why people don't understand 5 isn't good. Why there are people out there that don't understand 5 is positive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where we want to be, but 5 is the right direction. And in the last 36 hours, we've been hammered with a lot of comments about, you know, being negative, talking about 5 wins.
Well, and how I look at it from this way, too, if your goal is to make $100,000 a year with your job, which, hey, we all would. We'd all love that. But if you're making $30,000 now, but next year you're going to make $50,000, are you going to get mad and say, this is outrageous, I hate this, this is stupid, this shouldn't be what, this isn't better? Yeah, it's better making from 30 to 50. But you're on your way to making 100. You're going through the process. You can't all just have it overnight.
Flip your analogy. You're running a business that's losing. Because would you say Arkansas is losing money as far as win-loss record?
Well, yeah.
All right, so you're running a business that's losing $1 million a year. And let's just say 2-10 was $1 million loss last year. But you get to 5 wins and you cut the loss to $250,000 this year. It's almost like making $750,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not making money, but it's a step in the right direction. You're not back to break even, but you're a lot closer than you were when you were writing checks to cover payroll.
That's right.
You know, you're just hoping to get to the point you don't have to cover payroll every Friday. They were covering payroll every Friday and sweating at they didn't shut their electric off last year. We think they can do a lot better than that this year. And I just don't understand why people think five is not improving.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.